Greetings, creatures of the night. We are back after so long, so very long, but we did it.
Who are we?
We are Mark and Jimmy, and this is the experiment. What we're going to do, just break this down if you're unawares, I'm going to be returning my stack of movies that I got from Mark's Movie Vault back to him. We're going to be talking about those movies and some other stuff, you know, see where the wind takes us. Sounds good?
Sounds fantastic.
All right. So first up, we have The Ring, and it's the first original, you know, not the Japanese Ringu. It is The Ring. I mean, how do I feel about this one? How do you feel about this one? You're right.
It's early 2000s horror.
It is.
It is Naomi Watts trying her best, like she always does, and trying to be spooked out by a concept that the Japanese versions already did a bit better. So it's your typical early 2000s Japanese horror movie remake. You know, think Pulse, although I thought that one was okay.
Yeah, Pulse was pretty good. I liked that one.
And then
Grudge.
The Grudge, right. Good one. Yeah. And again, that one was okay too as well.
Not my favorite.
Probably didn't really need to be done though.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It was before people really got into reading, you know, subtitles that they wanted to.
Yeah, and I think that they hadn't figured out how to differentiate the remakes from the originals like they have with some recent remakes. I'm thinking, you know, the Saska Sisters remake of Rabid, very different but similar in premise.
Right.
These early 2000 Japanese horror remakes kind of struggle to justify their own existence.
Absolutely.
When you can just watch the original and it's better.
It is.
Or equal.
And yeah, exactly.
Maybe
right.
Probably better.
Exactly. It's better because it's the original one, and it's only equal because they made the exact same movie, just
pretty much. And yeah.
If you know The Ring, you know what's coming, you know the big scares, and the big scares aren't even that big of scares at all. They're not like huge jump scares. They're
not
just
really
kind of creepy crawling at you.
And so I think actually that's one of the things that I thought was okay about the movie was the balance between atmosphere and jump scares. But again, just watch
right.
The original.
No, just watch the original, and even that one's just kind of, that one's still just like a right middle of the road.
Just kind of middle of the road.
Not really that
sort
great,
of spooky.
Nothing going to blow your pants off. That's just The Ring, though, to me, and that's completely okay.
Yeah, so I would give that one a C- for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's just not really my movie that I gravitate to when I want to go for, you know, horror.
Nice little spooky horror.
But on the other hand, we have The Nun, which was not very well received, and we feel completely different about how The Nun should have been
received. I like The Nun.
Me too.
It was a solid, solid spooky horror movie. I thought it was a good period movie as well. I thought Tysa joining her sister in the Conjureverse was a good idea. I thought she was a great lead.
Even.
Yeah, and there's some poetry to that as well. I thought it was good. I thought it was solid. I thought it was well performed. I thought it had some great jump scares. I thought it had some solid background WTF moments.
Totally.
I think it's actually one of the better Conjuring movies.
So good in this one. I love everything that they do in the sets and the background, the imagery. I think they nail it where a lot of like movies don't, and especially movies in the Conjureverse, they kind of like, there's not a lot to look at there. They're kind of bland.
Where
this movie,
that's true,
leans heavy into the imagery and it makes it one of the better of, in my opinion, probably one of the best of the Conjureverse movies.
I don't disagree. I plan it towards the top myself. So
yeah, Conjuring it, 2 and then The Nun.
Those are two very
good of the Conjuring movies, but other than that,
two very unusual opinions for this series, because most people plant The Nun towards the bottom.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm not with that one.
No. Up next, we have Terror Train. I mean, friggin' Jamie Lee Curtis with college kids on a train stuck with a slasher who's getting revenge. Who could it be? The Magician? Is it The Magician? Because all signs point to The Magician. Guess what? Wasn't The Magician. But still, watch the movie. It's
Terror Train. The first time I watched it, I was a little bit meh by it. But upon repeat viewings over the years, it's actually grown on me quite a bit. I like the Jamie Lee Curtis vibes. I like the. I mean, it's a slasher on a train.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there are very many of those, or are they? Are there at all? It almost gives me a little bit of a Poirot mystery vibe.
Yeah,
in
sure.
addition to being a
Murder on the Orient Express.
Version
of. Well, I mean, the college campy version of Murder on the Orient Express, definitely.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, with
a completely different outcome.
But, oh, naturally. Yeah, but I thought it's grown on me over the years. I would give it a solid C+, 73, 75, something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I love Terror Train. It's as far as classic, very 80s movies go, it's high up there on my list. I mean, like, I like it as much as I'd say even The Fog, or it's kind of comparable to that. I mean, it definitely has its more campy than serious nature, but I would guess I'm just thinking about Jamie Lee Curtis movies.
Yeah, there was some crossover with those two, for sure, with the Curtis-ness.
Yeah.
Solid movie. Liked it. I mean, I dig it.
It's a B, in my opinion. Like a nice, solid B.
Ah, Dead Pit.
And then there's Dead Pit, which, man, talk about a movie that just comes out of nowhere and blows my socks completely off.
And for anyone who wasn't aware, this is done by Doe. His name is escaping me right now. The director of The Lawnmower Man. Brett Leonard, that's who it was, Brett Leonard. He also did The Lawnmower Man, and then he did Reverse Lawnmower Man, Virtual Man, I think it was what it was called, with yeah. Denzel Washington. Anyway, his little dabble in actual horror with the Dead Pit, absolutely love it, 100% absolutely love it. And like Jimmy, came out of nowhere. I'd watched Virtuosity, that's what it was. Virtuosity and Lawnmower Man my entire life, and only just maybe a year or two ago watched Dead Pit for the first time. So definitely came out of nowhere.
I mean, you know, Lawnmower Man, and actually I don't even think I've seen Virtuosity, which I need to borrow that from you apparently.
Saw a little Reverse Lawnmower Man sci-fi movie.
I'm sure you've actually probably suggested it to me before, but Lawnmower Man was never really my huge cup of tea because of, you know, cheesy CGI graphics. Dead Pit, on the other hand, is all practical effects and just amazing work at that.
Fantastic lighting and smoke use in that movie, too.
Like, some of the better that I've seen in like, recent memory, too. It blew me away. I can't suggest that one enough. That's a solid A, in my opinion.
I'm going to go with a solid 8 as well.
Say 8? I said A, as an apple.
Oh, so I'm going to call a solid B. That sounds 8 out of 10 for me.
I mean, it's 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10. I thought it was amazing. Another movie that's also amazing is Invisible Man.
Oh, this is the Leigh Whannell's
2020 version.
Yep.
With that sci-fi kicker. I mean,
it's just better Hollow Man.
It is.
It's just better Hollow Man.
Yeah. I mean, as creepy as Kevin Bacon is.
Oh, Kevin Bacon killed it in Hollow Man. Creepy, creepy, creepy performance. One of my favorite from him, actually. But the Invisible Man, oh, so sleek, so well performed. The fact that you actually care about the characters on a very visceral level really, really helped the film. The use of the sort of sci-fi vibes with the spooky, creepy tension vibes. 9 out of 10 for me. Love the Invisible Man remake and absolutely cannot wait to see these modern takes on the Universal monsters, because the most recent ones have been a lot of fun, and this one was just plain good.
Elizabeth Moss just killed it.
Elizabeth Moss is fantastic.
She absolutely nailed this one.
I think everyone kind of nailed it in that movie, too, though. No, like, for everyone was good.
I mean,
everyone was good.
The focal point is definitely Elizabeth Moss. But
I forget the dude's name, the boyfriend, or the creepy invisible boyfriend man. Oh, so...
Right.
In the best possible way.
Right. He really does encapture that whole, you know, angry, abusive boyfriend vibe easily.
And sells it with such convincingness. Yeah.
Very much so.
Good stuff.
Jeepers Creepers 2. Okay, so we all know how we feel about the director of Jeepers Creepers. He's a piece of shit, and that doesn't even need to be talked about.
Yeah, no.
Let's talk about the movies.
Let's talk about the movies.
Okay, first Jeepers Creepers was, I mean, so good.
Absolute top of the line.
It's
top of the line creature feature.
Horror movies go, it is just a pinnacle pillar of an example of just a great horror movie. Jeepers Creepers 2, on the other hand, feels somehow like it was made in 1996.
It's very particular, and it has a very clumsy, overdone but underbaked at the same time feel to me.
I had to look it up. I thought that maybe it had a different director this time. No, it was just, it was almost as if he was going for his version of a Spielberg-ish movie. Like, you know how it's just kind of, I don't know, neater, like he's going for like a cleaner version of Jeepers Creepers, and it felt like he was trying to go for the Goonies, and it wasn't appealing, and it just felt dry and stagnant.
It didn't feel as punchy, it didn't feel as genuinely, didn't feel the thrills, it was just kind of, I'm going to be honest, Jeepers Creepers 2 just kind of... doesn't do it for me. A lot of people, it's okay. It's totally okay as a Jeepers Creepers movie. I probably won't rewatch it a whole heck of a lot, but like I will the first one, which is just a great flick. Jeepers Creepers 2 is just, again, the best way I can describe it is overdone and undercooked at the same time. And
burnt and still doughy on the inside.
Yeah, just not fantastic, and just so many.
It reminds me a lot like The Hills Have Eyes 2.
That's a good comparison.
And right, exactly.
Yeah,
there you have The Hills Have Eyes, perfectly great pillar of a remake of a horror movie, and then you have Hills Have Eyes 2, which is just...
Can you watch it? Sure.
Why?
But why?
Why would you?
Why?
And also, if the first one exists, it really doesn't. But we are on a quest to watch everything.
So you know, sometimes you're gonna swing and a miss.
Right, absolutely.
And I feel like this one was just kind of so-so.
Right. I'm glad I borrowed it from you.
And then...
I mean, I know it's a freaking expensive DVD. Blu-ray.
Phantom of the Mall... 2, Eric's Revenge. Oh, wait, I mean Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge.
There is no other Phantom of the Mall. It's just Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, which is probably one of the best horror movies set in a mall since Night of the Comet.
I would agree with that statement. It's not Dawn of the Dead level incredible. It's not Chopping Mall level incredible. But I will tell you, I'm a big fan of Chopping Mall.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
So it's not Chopping Mall level amazing, but I'll tell you, it is a tip-top 80s mall set, beautiful adaptation of the classic Phantom story. It feels like it's got bits of Mallrats, it's got the 80s slasher, it's got Dawn of the Dead, it's completely and totally, even besides being an adaptation of a previous story, it's derivative in almost every way you can possibly imagine, but it's just all so well put together, and it's all so earnestly performed that, I mean, what do you got to complain about? It's a gem. It's an absolute gem.
I mean... you have so many people in that movie too. Like, you have Pauly Shore. He's there.
Apparently, I don't remember who told me this, but apparently he doesn't remember doing it.
That's... And he's so still Pauly Shore before he was Pauly Shore. And it's like, where did this character even come from? It's just Pauly Shore.
It's just Pauly Shore being very Pauly Shore-esque.
Right. It would be weird if he acted any other way.
Maybe he just remembers it as a series of times he went to the mall. I don't know.
It all just blends with all his other mall trips. I believe it. But other than that, I mean, like, it has all the right mixture of action and, you know, comedy. It's in there.
There's lots of vent crawling, I remember, too.
Right.
Lots of vent crawling. Lots of crawling in vents.
They save money by...
crawling around in vents a lot.
Reusing the same vent system that they...
Pretty sure I saw the same vent angled like six times during the movie, but I say that with love.
By the way, it's a good one. These movies are completely in a random stack as I'm giving them back to Mark, and we don't mean to end on any things, but the last one that I have in my stack is Alien versus Predator. So obviously we didn't do that on purpose.
So what do you think about Aliens versus Predator, Jimmy?
The first one was... It's not that great of a movie. It's kind of weirdly lit all the way through.
Strangely lit.
It is
so odd. Strangely lit.
I mean, as far as a Saturday morning cartoons like version of a movie, then it's okay. It's not bad. It's definitely not the best of those. But you have aliens and you have Predator and they're doing their things for sure.
I mean, you do get what is advertised out of the film, Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
And I like this movie not as a guilty pleasure, because I don't have any guilty pleasures, but it's definitely one of those movies that you don't necessarily broadcast that you like as much as you do. And you can kind of understand why everyone doesn't love it, but I kind of love it. I'm not entirely sure why. It looks strange. It's not rated R. But then again, I will say that I liked Aliens versus Predator Requiem. So,
right.
You know,
I like Aliens versus Predator Requiem as well, because, well, it arguably it's a horror movie, and in the way that it's shot and the way that it's presented is
whereas actually this is a more
pretty
of
good
a,
horror movie.
Yeah.
This is more of sci-fi action. Yeah, for sure. Where, you know, you don't get as much, from these big wide angle shots, and it just kind of feels weird.
And again, there's no sense of claustrophobia that you would expect with the Alien series, especially one that's, you know, mashing up two classic sci-fi monsters in a confined space. You would think there would be more horror to the experience.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. But on the other hand, if I look at it as Jimmy just said, a Saturday morning cartoon smash up of... you know, something that you would find on a Genesis video game back in the day, made life. I can see it. And of course, we have to remember that the director of this was none other than Paul W.S. Anderson of Resident Evil, Mortal Kombat, and then shockingly out of fucking nowhere, Event Horizon fame. He made that masterpiece of a movie.
It's really weird that you go from Event Horizon to Mortal Kombat.
But or was it the reverse? One of the two.
But it happened.
It did indeed happen. That is, and so it doesn't really make any sense. But then again, that guy's career for the last 20 years or so hasn't really made too much sense. So I'll just take it as you got to win sometime. And don't forget about, he also did Soldier. Soldier was a nice little fun one too.
I mean, just... an amalgamation of different types of movies that have come out of Paul W.S. Anderson.
Sci-fi tropes, horror tropes, all that stuff.
Video game tropes.
I will give this one, I liked it, I give it a C+.
This one, it is a C-. It is not a pretty movie, it is not a well-acted movie. Best thing that you can say about it is that it has aliens and predators and they're fighting each other. So
they do those things in the movie.
For sure.
They do those things in the movie.
At least there's that. So honorable mentions. Also, if you want a deeper dive into any of these, you can always visit my Instagram at Slayer Ghoulish Overkill. Oh, yeah, sorry. That's Slayer's Grindhouse.
We're going to do that probably 10 more times before we get it right.
For sure. You can find my name under Slayer Ghoulish Overkill, but my account is at Slayer's Grindhouse. And you can find Mark at Mark's Movie Vault. A lot easier to find that guy, for sure. What else are we talking about?
Honorable mentions.
Totally. A Field in England. Ben Wheatley. I watched that one while, you know, in the month that we weren't hanging out. But I revisited that. And, man, that movie's perfect. I don't know. As far as slow movies go, A Field in England, the tone, the pitch, the acting, the everything.
Unsatisfying, demented Monty Python. And I mean that as one giant compliment.
Yeah.
It is a phenomenal flick.
It's weird that, you know, Aliens vs. Predator used to, in my youth, be a movie that I could, like, throw on and really just have in the background and have that be my, you know, I don't know, soundtrack to my life. I have grown to experience that I enjoy the finer things sometimes, and man, can I just throw on A Field in England and go about my merry day? I sure can, because it is just, it's just one of those movies that all of it's good. You look over and you're experiencing a moment that is just bliss as far as movie watching goes.
I agree across the board. Field in England is absolutely fantastic. You can put it on anytime, and that was actually well said right there, where you just, anywhere you turn during the flick, you're going to be engaged with it. So yeah, love it.
I love that movie.
I love anything Ben's done, actually.
War of the Worlds 1953. Let's talk about it because it's old. Have you ever watched that one?
I don't think I've ever seen it in its entirety.
I think
I've seen it in chunks so that I've watched the entire film, but never all the way through in a single sitting. So no, I don't think I have.
It's,
but I do
so
like the
surprisingly
one.
Good. It is so surprisingly good. I really, for 1953, because I mean, like, you get everything that comes along with 1953 when you watch those movies.
Got that duck and cover paranoia.
Got all that weird hokey nonsense, but somehow this great movie just kind of shines through all that nonsense, and you have this clear vision of what War of the Worlds is supposed to be in 1953, like when that was all, you know, actually scary and happening.
There were legit anxieties that coincided with that movie.
I mean, people had killed themselves years before from the radio broadcast. They thought that the world
was
ending.
Good old Orson Welles.
Hey, if you can write it that realistic and make people believe it, I mean, anything's possible.
So what else?
That's it.
That was all
we got. Anything else?
I think that's it for me, too.
All right.
I'll be a little bit more prepared with my own little list next week because I'm just getting back from a trip to England, as some of you who follow both of us may know. And I got a lot of movies to go through. So,
lots to do.
See you all, hear you all next week.
Stick with it. All right.